686, Section 2, The Arts. As you read, look for popular kinds of music in Georgia, famous musicians from Georgia, famous writers and artists from Georgia, terms, visual arts, philanthropist. The 20th and early 21st century saw a blossoming of artists and artistic support in Georgia. Many of the difficult periods the state went through inspired its music, writing, painting, and other artistic output. Themes of changing landscapes, race, economic change, loss of old ways of life, and modernization appear throughout the works of Georgia artists, musicians, and writers. In addition to producing art, more and more Georgians came to appreciate the arts. While financial support often came from the upper classes, arts in schools and the growing number of museums, theaters, and other public art spaces tried to reach out to many citizens. Atlanta remains the cultural center for the arts in Georgia and the Southeast. Much of the Atlanta art scene has an impact on the nation. Other urban areas in the state, however, also supported and continue to support the arts. Many have a local music scene, artists' studios and galleries, places where artwork is shown, and writers' clubs. The larger communities also fund local ballet companies, symphonies, theater groups, and opera. Civic centers throughout the state host concerts, theater, circuses, and other performing acts that tour throughout the country. Music. Music has been an important part of Georgia's cultural development in the 20th and 21st centuries. The state has also made important contributions to the development of American music. From country to gospel, rock and roll to classical, rhythm and blues to rap, Georgia supports many types of music. Country music. In the 1920s, a new style of music emerged in the South and was made popular by radio. Fiddlin' John Carson from Georgia was one of the earliest performers. Carson was a textile mill worker who played a fiddle, violin, and made an early phonograph recording, the forerunner to CD players and iPods. The music he played was called country music and was originally played by rural people. As farmers moved to towns, they still liked their own style of music. Fiddles and steel guitars were popular instruments of country music. In the post-war period, Georgia country singers such as Brenda Lee became known nationally. In the 1960s, Albany native and singer Ray Charles helped bring country music to a wider audience. That opened the door for the popularity of such Georgians as Alan Jackson, Travis Tritt, and Trisha Yearwood in the late 20th century. Their work has had an influence on other types of music, including Southern rock. Blues. The style of music known as the blues also began in the South. Blues music in Georgia began in the African American community with people such as Blind Willie McTell of Thompson and Gertrude Ma Rainey, whom you studied earlier. Atlanta became an early center for blues musicians, and other forms of music in the African American community. By the end of World War II, the blues sound with a strong beat emerged into what became known as rhythm and blues, or R&B. Georgians Ray Charles, Richard Penniman of Macon, also known as Little Richard, and James Brown of Augusta, all became internationally known. By that time, white audiences were drawn to this music, which was originally classified by Billboard magazine as race music. R&B eventually crossed over to the pop charts. Brown and others crossed rhythm and blues with gospel to create what was known as soul music. James Brown became known as the godfather of soul. Southern rock. Southern rock is a style of rock music that began in Macon with the Allman Brothers Band in 1969. It is a blend of jazz, blues, country and rock and roll. Capricorn Records, based in Macon, had other Southern bands with that sound, including the Atlanta Rhythm Section. In the 1980s, Athens became an important place for new bands that went on to national acclaim. The B-52s, R.E.M., and Widespread Panic were all started as college student bands. All continued to perform in the 2000s, and R.E.M. released a new album in 2008. Rap and hip-hop. By the late 1990s and early 2000s, Atlanta was also home to rap and hip-hop artists. Ludacris was a DJ at an Atlanta radio station when he released his first solo album in 2000. In 2001, the rapper used some of his earnings to found the Ludacris Foundation to benefit underprivileged children in Atlanta. By 2006, he won a Grammy Award for his seventh album. A multi-Grammy winner from Atlanta is Outkast, the duo of Andre Benjamin and Antoine Patton. Outkast released 8 albums between 1994 and 2008. Another important artist and businessman in the rap, hip-hop genre style is Georgian Jermaine Dupri. He is a songwriter and producer and began producing records with the So-So Def label in 1992. Classical. Classical music also thrives in Georgia. Atlanta was the first city in the state to found its own orchestra in the 1920s. Unfortunately, the Depression ended that. At the end of World War II, the Atlanta Youth Orchestra began to hire adults, and in 1947, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra was founded. The orchestra grew under its first director, Henry Sopkin. In 1967, Robert Shaw became the conductor. Shaw founded the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Chorus, hired African-American musicians, and led the orchestra to multiple Grammy Awards and international recognition. The orchestra's quality and recognition continued after Shaw's retirement. It still gives more than 200 performances each year. Opera. One of the most recognized musicians in the world today is opera's Jesse Norman, born in Augusta. Norman has sung major roles at opera houses around the globe, including the famous La Scala in Italy, the London Royal Opera, the New York Metropolitan Opera, and Carnegie Hall. In 1989, the French government asked her to sing the French national anthem at the 200th anniversary of the French Revolution on Bastille Day, the French equivalent of the 4th of July. She also thrilled millions of viewers throughout the world when she sang at the opening of the 1996 Olympics. Norman has received several Grammy Awards and has also achieved the United States' highest award in the arts, a Kennedy Center Honor. Norman is a generous supporter of many causes, including breast cancer and AIDS. She works to bring arts training to her hometown through the Jesse Norman Schools for the Arts. She has also endowed a scholarship at Howard University in the name of her teacher there. Literature. The writers mentioned in the following sections represent only some of the many excellent writers that Georgia has produced. Their poetry, plays, novels, and short stories explore many themes of the human condition. For some, Georgia is the setting. For others, their experiences or their ancestors' experiences in Georgia and the South provide the material on which their work is based. Many of them deal with issues of race, modernization, and adapting to a modernizing society. Novels. In the 1930s, two Georgia women won Pulitzer Prizes in literature. Caroline Miller wrote Lamb in His Bosom, a story about a mother in South Georgia. Margaret Mitchell is famous for Gone with the Wind, a popular novel about Georgia during the Civil War and Reconstruction. Millions of copies of the book have been sold since it was published in 1936. Gone with the Wind became a top movie. Its grand opening was held at the Fox Theater in Atlanta in 1939 with the stars of its famous cast in attendance. One of the best-known writers of the Depression era was Erskine Caldwell. His books, Tobacco Road and God's Little Acre, told stories of extremely poor whites, of sharecropping farms, and of textile mills. In the 1940s, the works of African-American Frank Yerby began to appear. Yerby was an Augusta native, and his novel, The Foxes of Harrow, was the first bestseller written by an African-American. It, too, was made into a movie. Most of his stories are romances that draw millions of readers and have been translated into many languages. Only toward the end of his career did Yerby begin to write about African-American themes. One of the most respected of Georgia's writers in the 1940s was Columbus native Carson McCullers. The theme of loneliness runs throughout her novels and other writings, beginning with The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. Her other two best-known works are Member of the Wedding and The Ballad of the Sad Cafe. Three of her books have been made into films. She was inducted into the National Institute of Arts and Letters in 1952, the Georgia Women of Achievement in 1994, and the Georgia Writers Hall of Fame as a charter member in 2000. In the post-war period, Flannery O'Connor, James Dickey, and Alice Walker became well-known in American literature. O'Connor's short stories and novels have made her one of the most important writers in the United States. O'Connor was one of the influences on Alice Walker. Walker is known for her novels, short stories, and poems. While her works do have race as a theme, she is also known for exploring women's issues as well as family and place. Alice Walker was not the first African American to win the Pulitzer Prize in fiction. That honor had happened in 1988 when James Allen McPherson, born and raised in Savannah, won for his collection of short stories entitled Elbow Room. In addition to his poetry, McPherson is known for his essays on many topics. Playwrights. One of Georgia's best contemporary playwrights is Alfred Urey. His plays are set in Georgia and deal with themes of Georgia history. His 1999 play, Parade, told the story of the Leo Frank case, which you studied in Chapter 19. Urey is best known for his play, Driving Miss Daisy, which premiered in New York in 1987. It was based on the relationship between Urey's own Jewish grandmother and her African-American chauffeur. He won a Pulitzer Prize for the play, and the movie won an Academy Award for Best Picture and for Best Adapted Screenplay. He is the only playwright to win all three awards. He has written other award-winning plays as well. Poets. Georgia has many well-known poets. In the post-war period, one was James Dickey. Although perhaps best known for his prize-winning novel Deliverance and the screenplay for the movie version, Dickey was first recognized and admired in literary circles for his poetry. In it, he often dealt with man and his relationship with nature and sometimes with other people. In 2007, Natasha Trethewey won the Pulitzer Prize in poetry. Originally from Mississippi, Trethewey came to Georgia in the early 1970s when she was 6 years old. She graduated from the University of Georgia and eventually became a professor at Emory University. Her poetry often draws on the experiences of her own life. Daughter of an African-American mother and a white father, she often explores the nature of being biracial. She also tries to capture forgotten stories from history. Another poet, novelist, and short story writer in Georgia is Latina writer Judith Ortiz Cofer. She was born in Puerto Rico, lived in Paterson, New Jersey, and moved to Augusta when she was 15. She graduated from Augusta College with a degree in English and received a master's degree from Florida Atlantic University. Since the mid-1980s, she has taught writing as a professor at the University of Georgia while continuing to write in all these genres. In her award-winning poetry and stories, she writes of the experiences of Latinas, especially Puerto Rican women. Film. In the last few decades, Georgia has been the setting or location for hundreds of feature films, commercials, and music videos, along with television movies, series, and specials. In 1973, then-Governor Jimmy Carter established a state film commission, now known as the Georgia Film, Music, and Digital Entertainment Office, to attract filmmakers to Georgia. Since then, Georgia has been the location for dozens of films. In the 1980s and 1990s, several films brought prestige to Georgia, including Driving Miss Daisy, Fried Green Tomatoes, Glory, and Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Forrest Gump, the lead character in the movie by that name, tells the story of his life from a bench in Savannah's historic Chippewa Square. The 2009 hit, The Blind Side, was filmed on location in Atlanta. Tyler Perry, after filming Diary of a Mad Black Woman in Atlanta, opened a film studio in the city in 2006. In this century, the state has worked to provide incentives in the hopes of continuing to attract filmmakers to Georgia. In 2001, legislation exempted the television and film industry from sales and use taxes on production-related expenses. In 2005, filmmakers who worked in Georgia were offered income tax credits. And in 2008, the state passed a law granting a 20% tax credit for companies filming in Georgia. Visual arts. The visual arts are works of art, such as painting, sculpture, and photography, that you can look at and that typically exist in permanent form. As in the other areas we have discussed, Georgia visual artists have made their mark in the art world. Up until the 1960s, most Georgia artists drew and painted scenes that reflected their local environments and life. Since the 1970s, the work of some became more abstract, something that does not represent real life. Some artists have worked in more than one genre. Two of the most admired artists are Benny Andrews and Lamar Dodd. Benny Andrews, an African-American artist, was raised near Madison on a farm where his parents were sharecroppers. His father, George Andrews, had no formal training in art, but became known as the Dot Man for his method of painting dots on everyday objects. Benny was the first of his family to graduate from high school. He studied at Fort Valley State College before entering the Air Force. Later, he studied at the Institute of Art in Chicago. In New York, he quickly became recognized for his talent and his Southern-influenced paintings. He taught art at New York colleges, served as director for visual arts for the National Endowment of the Arts in the 1980s, and exhibited his works in major museums and galleries throughout the country. His paintings have been purchased by more than 30 museums, including the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, the Museum of Modern Art, and the Atlanta's High Museum of Art. He has also illustrated books, including the novels of his brother, Raymond Andrews. He and his wife founded the Benny Andrews Foundation to introduce art to large, diverse audiences, including those from deprived areas. Lamar Dodd is considered by many to be the most recognized Georgia artist of the 20th century. Born in Fairburn, Dodge grew up in LaGrange. After training in New York, he accepted a position to teach art at the University of Georgia. Dodd was the chair of the Department of Art from 1938 until 1973, and he turned the department into one of the most respected in the country. During that time, he continued to produce his own works of art. Dodd's early work emphasized the natural environment. He returned to that theme in the 1980s and 1990s. In between, he did, among other works, a major series on space for NASA, National Aeronautical and Space Administration, and a series on the human heart. Dodd died in 1996 after a lifetime of teaching, promoting art, and creating his own work. Heritage and history. As we have seen in this book, Georgia has a rich history and heritage that dates back thousands of years when the first native peoples made their way here. In the 20th century, Georgia began a major effort to preserve its past and to tell its story to the public through its parks, historic sites, and heritage trails. In 1951, the legislature created the Georgia Historical Commission. Later, the Department of Natural Resources assumed most of its efforts. Savannah was the first city to begin promoting its historic character with the founding of the Historic Savannah Foundation in 1955. With its beautiful squares, originally laid out by James Oglethorpe, Savannah began to attract tourists from throughout the country. By the 1970s, cities and towns throughout the state joined Savannah in preserving and presenting their heritage. Three presidents had ties to Georgia. The Little White House of Franklin Roosevelt in Warm Springs provides a glimpse of how Roosevelt worked while treating his polio in the Warm Spring waters. The home of President Jimmy Carter not only tells the story of his growing up, but also gives insight into life in that period for children on Georgia farms. In the 1990s, Augusta restored and opened the boyhood home of President Woodrow Wilson, who was influenced by his childhood there during the Civil War and Reconstruction. In many cities and towns, museums, big and small, tell of life in earlier times and sometimes of important people from Georgia's past. The King Center and other sites throughout the state became important destinations for learning about the story of African Americans. Most Georgia communities have a history museum that presents the story of the community's past. Some museums are dedicated to a particular subject, such as the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta, the Georgia Music Hall of Fame in Macon, or the Ships of the Sea Museum in Savannah. The Agrorama in Tifton is a living history museum that recreates life in the 19th century. State and national parks in Georgia tell about many different time periods, from Rock Eagle near Eatonton to the Kennesaw Mountain Battlefield to Fort Pulaski in Savannah. In the Okefenokee Swamp, the life of a swamp dweller comes alive. Throughout Georgia, places of history, recreation, and natural beauty are available for the state's citizens and those who visit from other states and countries. Epilogue. The Georgia colony began as a charitable venture. James Oglethorpe and the other trustees wanted to give people a helping hand and a new start. The trustees hoped the settlers they sent to Georgia would then be able to create better lives for themselves and their children. That spirit of charity lives on in the 21st century. Many modern Georgians use their own resources to improve the lives of others and make the state of Georgia a better place in which to live. Like those early trustees, they have started nonprofit foundations which provide funding and grants to programs and other charities and nonprofit organizations that provide various services. Some of these private charities were founded by those who became wealthy in their business ventures. They believed that to whom much is given, much is required. Corporations sponsor over 50 foundations in Georgia. Others were founded by those of more modest means but great vision. many nonprofits receive small donations or gifts of time from ordinary citizens who want to help their communities and other people. We will examine a few major foundations and a Georgia nonprofit that became known throughout the world. In 1937, Coca-Cola CEO Robert Woodruff began a foundation that he named the Trebor Foundation. Trebor is Robert spelled backward. Woodruff wanted to perform his charity work without people knowing. When he died, the name of the charity was changed to the Robert Woodruff Foundation. This foundation has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to organizations such as Emory University, the Centers for Disease Control, CARE, and the Woodruff Arts Center, which houses the Atlanta Symphony, the Alliance Theater, the High Museum of Art, the 14th Street Playhouse, and Young Audiences. Each year, the Woodruff Foundation gives grants to educational institutions and other charities. Its work has enhanced the lives of millions of people. In 1970, broadcaster Walter J. Brown started the Watson Brown Foundation, headquartered in Thompson. Each year, hundreds of students from several Georgia counties attend college on Watson Brown scholarships. The foundation also supports historic preservation activities, including operating museums in the homes of Thomas E. Watson and T.R.R. Cobb, higher education, and scholarly research on Georgia and the South. The foundation is one of the largest private foundations in Georgia. Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy has focused his charity on young people. Windshape Homes supports foster homes for children. Cathy and his wife fostered over 150 children themselves. His leadership scholarship program helps employees of his restaurants further their education. He has also partnered with Berry College to provide scholarships to young people who attend that institution. From modest beginnings, he became an important philanthropist, one who gives money or other help to improve the quality of human life. Home Depot founders Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank have both become major philanthropists. The Marcus Institute provides treatment for children with brain diseases. Marcus also contributed $200 million toward the Georgia Aquarium. Not only does this teach us about the creatures of the sea, but it provides jobs and brings tourism to Georgia, boosting the economy in many ways. Arthur Blank founded the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation. Its Fostering Opportunity program supports charities aimed at children up to 5 years of age and at higher education for teens. The Enhancing Quality of Life program supports environmental initiatives such as parks. It also supports the arts. The Youth Foundation of his Atlanta Falcons focuses on organizations in the Atlanta area that help get young people healthy and fit. Georgian Ted Turner has been an extremely important philanthropist. In fact, he gave one of the largest, if not the largest, single gift ever given by a person, $1 billion to the United Nations Foundation. His Turner Foundation has given hundreds of millions of dollars to environmental causes, and he funded a $250 million initiative headed by former Georgia Senator Sam Nunn to end the threat of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. Turner's work has not only had a major impact on Georgia, it is felt in many parts of the globe. Millard Fuller was not a Georgian by birth, but he adopted Georgia as his home when he and his wife Linda gave up their wealth. He had become a billionaire by the age of 29 to live a life of service. He founded what is perhaps Georgia's best-known service nonprofit. In the mid-1960s, Millard and Linda moved to a small Christian community called Koinonia Farm near Americus. There, they developed the basic idea that in 1976 became Habitat for Humanity, a nonprofit, Christian-based charity. His concept was to use volunteers to help build homes for those who needed them. Homeowners, called partners, contribute their own labor as part of their equity in the homes. The remaining cost of the homes is funded by low-interest loans that the partners pay back over time. By 2001, Habitat had built 100,000 houses. By 2005, there were 200,000 Habitat houses, and in 2009, over 300,000. In the early 21st century, disputes with the Habitat board resulted in the Fullers establishing in 2005 a new nonprofit, the Fuller Center for Housing. It continues to build homes and to renovate homes for the elderly and others who cannot afford renovation. After Millard Fuller's death in 2009, Linda Fuller continued the work she and her husband began. Georgia has thousands of charities. Your own local community probably has charities for helping the poor, such as soup kitchens and shelters, for helping children, such as Boys and Girls Clubs, for helping the sick and injured and their families, such as Ronald McDonald Houses and Wounded Warriors Programs, for support of the arts and history, for preserving and protecting the environment, for education at all levels, and many, many others. Like Oglethorpe and his trustees, you can also lend your time, talents, and resources to help create a better community. In this book, we have explored the story of our state from the time of the first Native peoples who gathered their food to the modern era of instant messaging and global connections. We end our story where we began our recorded history, with people having a vision of a better future and working to make it so. Georgia's story will continue in the 21st century, and today's events will become tomorrow's history. You are part of that ongoing epic. Your story will one day be part of Georgia's history. Reviewing the section, 1. Define visual arts philanthropist. 2. Who was the first Georgian to win the Pulitzer Prize? The first African American. 3. Who was the only playwright to win both a Pulitzer Prize and an Academy Award? Page 696, Georgia Portraits, Flannery O'Connor and Alice Walker. Two of the most revered American writers of the 20th century are Georgia women, Flannery O'Connor and Alice Walker. One white and one African American, both spent their childhoods in central Georgia, O'Connor in Milledgeville and Walker in Eatonton. Their experiences as Southern women influenced their writings. Born in Savannah in March 1925, O'Connor attended Catholic schools in Savannah before moving to Milledgeville and attending high school there. She stayed at home in Milledgeville for college, graduating in 1945 from Georgia State College for Women, now Georgia College and State University. She began graduate work in journalism at the State University of Iowa, but realized that she wanted to write creatively. She enrolled in the university's Writer's Workshop. During her writing career, she wrote 2 novels and over 30 short stories. Several won the O. Henry Award, the highest award for a short story. These works have made her one of the most important writers in the United States. Both her short stories and her novels are often described as dark, as she wrestles with issues such as religion in a society becoming less religious. Her characters are often twisted and tormented. In 1950, O'Connor developed lupus, and she returned to Milledgeville. She lived the rest of her life writing on her family's farm, Andalusia, now a historic site. She died in 1964 at the age of 39. In 1972, the complete collection of her short stories won the National Book Award. O'Connor was one of the influences on Alice Walker. The daughter of sharecroppers Walker was born in Eatonton in February 1944. She was an excellent student and received a scholarship to Spelman College in 1961. After 2 years, Walker transferred to Sarah Lawrence College in New York, from which she graduated. Throughout her college years, Walker was active in the civil rights movement. Walker's output as a writer is remarkable. She is known for her novels, short stories, essays, and poems. While her works do sometimes address race, she explores many issues of women, as well as family and place. She is interested in relationships within the African American community. Her first book of poetry appeared in 1968, and her first novel the next year. Her best-known work is The Color Purple, which won the Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award in 1983. The novel, which takes place in Georgia, is written as a series of letters, most of them to God. It explores the relationship of men and women, but also the support and friendship between women. It was made into a movie in 1985. Throughout her long writing career, Walker has remained an activist, working for political causes that include women's rights and environmental policy. She has also taught writing at many colleges and universities in the United States. Although Walker has lived her adult life outside the state of Georgia, she donated her papers to Emory University in Atlanta in 2007. Page 698, Chapter Review, Chapter Summary, Section 1, Education. After World War II, smaller schools were consolidated into larger ones. The GI Bill provided education benefits to those who had served in World War II. When veterans started using the GI Bill, the higher education system was expanded. When the baby boom generation began attending schools, new schools had to be built. Later, junior colleges became four-year colleges, and a new system of junior colleges was built. In 1964, the Governor's Honors Program was implemented, and more vocational training was added to the system. In the 1980s, the Quality-Based Education, QBE, program was introduced, establishing, among other things, a standard core curriculum. In 1993, a state lottery was created, and the lottery money funded education, including the HOPE Scholarship Program. The A-plus Education Reform Act was passed in 2000. In 2002, the Georgia Performance Standards were developed. Section 2, The Arts. Georgia has a vibrant arts scene that includes music, writing, film, and visual arts. Among the types of music made by Georgians and enjoyed by Georgians and others are country music, the blues, southern rock, rap and hip-hop, classical, and opera. The Atlanta Symphony Orchestra was founded in 1947. Georgia writers have produced and continue to produce poetry, plays, novels, and short stories. Many have received such awards as the Pulitzer Prize. Georgia has honored its writers in the Georgia Writers Hall of Fame and the Georgia Women of Achievement. Caroline Miller was the first Georgian to win the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. African-American writer Frank Yerby had the first bestseller written by an African-American. James Allen McPherson was the first African-American to win the Pulitzer Prize in fiction for his collection of short stories entitled Elbow Room. Georgia has been the setting or location for hundreds of feature films, commercials, and music videos, along with television movies, series, and specials. The state of Georgia, as well as numerous cities and towns, has made an effort to preserve its past and tell its story to the public through its parks, historic sites, and heritage trails. The Georgia colony began as a charitable venture. Today, many Georgians continue in that tradition by using their resources and time to improve the lives of others and make the state a better place to live. Page 699 contains a review of Chapter 27.